Thank you. I guess there's a lyric here. You know, you're familiar with music your whole life, right? And you rarely listen to the words. Something about just one key unlocks the door. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. So what would that be? What is the key? The key is in consciousness somehow. The key is willingness for sure, somehow. And maybe the key is gratitude as well. Maybe the key to being free enough to choose peace, to choose community, to choose to see ourselves as fully enfranchised in whatever endeavor or any environment that we're in, is to be aware of all the things that are right with us and all the things that are right with the world. It's not easy. You know, we gather here on Sundays because it is adult work to practice some kind of mindfulness and basic awareness of all the things that are right with the world. Even news sources that I trust, like at NPR, this week they were saying gasoline prices, or the average price is like, you know, whatever it is, $4.10. And it's a penny more than it was last month, and it's 25 cents more than it was this time last year. And that's given to me as a news item. And I sit there, and I mean, have we listened to this since 1972 when there was the first oil embargo, right? We sort of get this daily thing about how much gasoline costs. And I really thought, why are they telling me that? I mean, how do decisions get made in a newsroom anymore where they need to tell me that gas is a penny more than it was last month? What do I do with that information? What do I pull my car over and stop driving? Because, good Lord, it's so expensive. What am I thinking? Or do I, you know, get my Jones going about the man and the oil companies? Why do I need that information? It's not telling me the cheapest gas station in town to go to. We all know the most expensive one is the one where Olympic and San Vicente cross at Fairfax. That's the most expensive gas station in America. I'm right, yes? It's like a dollar more than everywhere else on the planet, even in the heart of Beverly Hills. It's a dollar more right there. But why is that news? Why am I told that? And the answer is, I don't have a clue. Do you? I mean, if any of you have traveled recently, you also know, I know I got to go to Scotland a year ago where gasoline is $13 a gallon, not 4 1/4. I could say, well, isn't that nice? But they don't give me that comparison, so I will feel grateful for how, you know, there's just stuff that washes over us all day long. And what do I do with it? I don't know. And then we can become cynical, even in an enchanting way. We can become cynical. And for people of my generation or older, you know, we can adopt this Tevye the Dairyman attitude. Things are so expensive, but they're not that expensive. I guess it's okay. Things aren't so bad, but they could be better. But what do you do with this? Just shrug your shoulders and show up for work and feel like a schlemiel? I don't know. It's tricky business being a grown-up. Tricky business. What we are seeking is some kind of equanimity, some kind of baseline to operate from, some kind of principle that no matter what is going on, I know what my first response strategy always is. And that's what we offer in this particular teaching. That's why I value it so much. I have a principle that I default to, which in Dr. Holmes's words is, life will be to me what I am to it. Okay. If I want to be freaked out all the time, there will be plenty to be freaked out about. If I want to be bliss-filled, I can find a way to have that experience somewhere. Especially now that I'm aware of how many medical marijuana outlets there are. I don't have a prescription. I'm not an abuser. But I was not aware that there's an outlet on every single block in Los Angeles now. Somebody just told me it's the Green Cross. I didn't know what that was. I thought it was Chiclets or something. And there's a store with a green cross on it on every single block in our neighborhood around Farmers Market. It's amazing. All right, so you can choose that strategy, but that is self-limiting, as we like to say in New Thought. If you're going to be high all the time, you're not going to be that productive. Irregardless of its legality. There is a principle, though, and the principle is that life will be to me what I am to it. So if I want to have a better experience of life, the better is up to me to be. And how can I be better? And that begins with a foundation of gratitude, of counting your blessings, of being aware of what there is right with you, being aware of all the good people that are in your life. And if there aren't that many people in your life, that's also up to you to reach out and make sure that you are a friend so that you might have a friend, in Emerson's words. And that if we want to create something brand new and get moving in a brand new direction, then it is up to us first to take the step. As it is written in the book of Job, you will decide on a matter, it will be established for you, and light will shine on your way. The first step is that you will decide on a matter. And the best way to decide on matters is always going to be in joy, in lively expectation. Not in fantasy, not in thinking that this time it's going to be easy, or this time I'm going to get what is owed me, or this time I'm going to, there's a Liza Minnelli song in there, maybe this time, right? I'll get lucky. Luck doesn't have a whole lot to do with that. It's about being willing to step out into life with some kind of an expectation of knowing what it is I want, knowing who I am in the mix, and what I am going to do about it, knowing indeed that there are divine forces that will do with us and for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. That's why this is a spiritual and ethical teaching and not a dogmatic one. We all have had this experience. We've all seen it. If we start projects without a sense of gratitude and being aware of the blessings in our lives, the abilities and interests, those kinds of things that give us a sense of vitality, then we will find that any task is going to feel like we're beating our head against a wall. If we do it because it's fun and it's what we want to experience next, then it is self-perpetuating. It is self-sustaining. Choice of work is so important, and all of us get to choose that. What do I want to give? What kind of projects do I want to be involved in? Even if only for the sake that it will organize my interests and energies, that I can express them, that I can find an outlet to be creative in this world. I never imagined until fairly recently in my life that I would choose to do this work, because when I was small, my interests were in visual arts, and so I guess I had fantasies about that kind of thing. But I find in this work that it organizes all of my interests and abilities and allows me to stay creative. And that's the kind of work that all of us want to do. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what that activity is, even if it is volunteer service, it doesn't matter what it is. But if it engages your joy, engages your creativity, you'll give yourself to it. And to the degree that we give ourselves to it, we will have satisfaction. And, you know, the hope, I'd like to say the promises, is that there will be money behind that. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. In the long run, yes. There's a trap in gratitude, though, that I want to reflect on for a moment. We can find ourselves sometimes settling for too little. When things are really hard in life, and we find ourselves having to start all over again, I won't ask for hands, but I've been in that situation several times myself. The important place to begin again, believe me, is from gratitude. That's how we reboot the system. There is a trap, and not in our teaching per se, but in the New Age culture, and we're all kind of children of New Age, 70s, 80s New Age culture to a certain degree, that we can be so relentlessly focused on being grateful for the small things that that seems to be enough. And when we are starting again and rebuilding again, it is enough. But we can become too comfortable with that. And so I would invite anybody to bring your full awareness to where you are in life right now. To be really aware of what is good and what you are grateful for. But also to be, rigorously honest is an expression, and ask yourself, have I settled for too little? Am I playing a game with myself and flattering myself, frankly, into feeling that my life is fantastic, although it may be very unrealized? Only you will know the answer to that. But I have recently found parts of my own self, parts of my work, that maybe I did stop too soon. Maybe I settled for too little. When did I stop asking more of myself? When did my gratitude become rote? There are some times in some things that it's never rote. It's like a discovery all over again. Whenever you walk past a jasmine vine that's blooming, it's, my God, behold. Really, behold. So amazing. That would be true also of the smell of bacon cooking in the morning. Behold, somebody in my apartment building cooks bacon at 10 o'clock at night. I don't know if they're above me or below me or to the left or to the right. But some night I'm going to put my head out the window and say, you better not be cooking bacon if you're not going to invite me over there to have some at this hour. It's very distressing trying to fall asleep when bacon is wafting in your window. Don't settle for too little. So ask yourself that question. Is it time to get going again? You see, progress really only happens when there is a yin-yang dynamic going on. We can stay in a certain place forever, and it can be quite okay. But if we want to move on, we have to be grateful and hungry at the same time. And we don't want to be too grateful that we're not motivated to move, and we don't want to be too hungry that we're hungry for the wrong thing. Am I doing it just for the money? Am I doing it just to get even? Am I doing it just for the sake of creating drama? Or am I doing it because my heart really wants to go there? I love this work because it's not simplistic. It is simple, but it is not easy, and it takes the full awareness of, I was going to say a grown-up, it could be, you know, you can be 10 years old and get this, but there's no fantasy about it. And we also, one of the things we're missing in our teaching also is we don't have any sense of threat here. I'm watching this long series about Henry VIII called The Tudors. You know, and it would be so much fun to walk up to people and say, I command you. Nobody gets away with that. Under threat of eternal damnation. I can't damn anybody to hell. We don't have that here. That used to be a motivation for about 2,000 years. That was really spiffy to throw on somebody, and we can't give that away either. So where do you get your proper motivation from? Be here now. Be here now. Be here fully now. Be grateful for all the good things that are going on in your life, and be hungry for an even gooder, an even better expression of what that might be. A very interesting dynamic, and there has to be the two things if we're going to increase our capacity to enjoy life and to create and to experience, which in the increasing of our capacity, you know, we should have a lively expectation of financial abundance. Yes, of course. Of course. But that is not the thing we lean into. Starting from gratitude, we lean into our interests where our heart wants to take us. And what we don't also want to be is really, as fun as it is, to be like Tevye the Dairyman. Because if it's so equivocal, we're not going to have that sort of frisson that is required to truly move us forward. When we're equivocal, it's good for a joke, but it's not great for life. You have both of these capacities in you. They are there all the time. Whenever you give your attention to these capacities of gratitude and curiosity, or gratitude and yearning, gratitude and desire together, this is the key that unlocks the door. And what's on the other side? You get to make it up. God bless you, friends. I appreciate you.